You're listening to Stories of the Master. The stories of Jesus have reached into the hearts of millions. They have changed people, families, and nations. Not all have loved the stories Jesus told. Not all have honored the life he lived. Some were angry with him, the things he did and the things he said. Others were deeply moved and found hope. What will your response be? Today on Stories of the Master, All Night in Prayer, and it is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 49. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your storyteller and teacher. I'm so glad you're here. Gather your friends. Come close and listen. It's time for the world to hear again the stories of the Master. And now, All Night in Prayer. Two groups gathered in Galilee. One, a crowd of the physically sick who had journeyed to Jesus for healing. Another, a crowd of the spiritually sick who had walked away from Jesus and found bitterness of soul. The physically sick knew they had been touched by the hand of God. The spiritually sick plotted to lay hold of Jesus and destroy him. It had been a long day for Jesus, a day filled with controversy, but a day that had brought the blessing of God to his people. Many of those who found healing were now gone, returning home with joy in their hearts and renewed bodies and spirits. Jesus was alone with his disciples, but rather than return to a nearby village to find lodging, he decided it was best to stay away and spend the rest of the evening and the night in prayer. His followers stayed close by and one by one began to nod off to sleep as Jesus prayed on. Father, they seek to destroy me, these men, these guardians of your law, who are misguided in their zeal. They accuse me of breaking your holy commands when they are the ones who miss the heart of your word. Surely what they do is not what you intend. Yes, it is your will that we rest on this holy day, but to say that we break your commands if we reach out and strip off a few grains to eat? What has happened to your people? Why are they so blind to the law's true intent? Why do they focus on the absurdity of their rules? Oh, Father, I am yours. I am your anointed. I am your special son, the king of your people. Yet their rejection pains my heart. Oh, Father, today the man whose hand was useless. He could not provide for his family. He could not rejoice in the dignity of work. And I healed him in your name. What better way to honor the Sabbath than to heal him? Did you not give us the Sabbath to remind us that you released us from bondage to Egypt? What better day than the Sabbath to celebrate your new work, releasing a man from an infirmity so he could work with both hands and glorify your name. Oh, how blind your people are. Jesus paused. He thought on all those who had come to him that day, the blind, the sick, those possessed with evil spirits, and so many other problems. God had empowered him to heal them all, and how he wished the leaders in Israel would join him in touching the lives of the hundreds, the thousands who were in such need. Father, this is just Israel, one nation. How many in the whole world are crying for help? Father, you have sent me into this world to seek and to save all those who are lost. I have done your will, but your people have rejected me. I have gone to those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who weep, and given them your love. But the rich and the well-fed, those who have received your blessings in abundance, have turned away. They laugh, they scorn, and now they plot my death. Jesus got up from his private place of prayer and walked quietly among his disciples. He found comfort among them. Campfires burned low. Dozens had accompanied him into the hills and were now sleeping peacefully as he prayed. There was Peter and his brother Andrew. He smiled as he thought of the first time he spoke to Peter. "You are Simon, but from now on you will be called Rock, Peter." Peter had liked that. And he tried to be a leader and a rock for his brother Andrew and the others, but he still had so much to learn. Jesus looked at James and John, men with a tempestuous temperament. Sons of thunder, he would call them. He would redirect that energy for the sake of the world. He saw Nathanael Bartholomew and remembered how he was skeptical of Jesus. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael had said. But now, Nathanael, or Bartholomew as he liked to be called, was one of his most solid followers. What an odd assortment of men God had given him! What extremes among them! He walked by Matthew, the man who had collected taxes for the Romans, and Simon the Zealot, the one who would love to cut down the Romans and the tax collectors if given the chance. And yet, there they were, sleeping side by side. Jesus had given them a greater vision that was beginning to shape them into new men, a vision that was greater than violent revolution and greater than compromising with the Romans. The greater vision was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, how his people had longed for the reign of God on earth. The prophets had foretold its coming in unmistakable terms, but it seemed like God's kingdom would never come. The Assyrians had come, but not God's kingdom. The Babylonians had come, and the Persians and the Greeks, but still no kingdom of God. Yes, Judas Maccabeus and his brothers led a successful revolution against the Greeks and had freed the land from oppression for a century, but what good had that really done? The people's hearts had not changed. The leaders were corrupt. The religious ones had formed into factions, and life continued as before with all of its uncertainty and fear. And then the Romans came. For almost 100 years, the Romans had ruled in the land that God gave to Abraham. But now, he had come. He was here, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Israel was in their midst, and he was bringing the kingdom to them if only they could see it and grasp it. As Jesus continued to pray, a plan began to take shape in his mind. He would speak to the multitudes about the kingdom of God. Yes, he would gather his followers again and would speak in the clearest ways about the kingdom, the kind of kingdom he was bringing, and what it would mean to follow him. Yes, it was now time to spell out in clearer detail what his kingdom was about. It would be his kingdom manifesto. It would be the charter for how the people of God would live. It would lay out the path that all men must take. Jesus smiled as he thought on what he would teach, and then he said, "But Father, before I do that, I know there is one other thing I must do. You have given me many followers, but now I must select 12 to be with me at all times, to learn from me, to think like I think, and to see the world as I see it. Yes, and I will send them on mission as part of their training, and I will empower them to perform your mighty works and to cast out demons as I have. If the leaders will not accept me, then I will appoint new leaders for Israel." The plan filled the heart of Jesus with joy. He thought on the history of his people. Had not God done this before? God had raised up King Saul, but when Saul corrupted himself, he picked a new leader, David, a man after his own heart, to reign over his people. God had chosen the priests to teach his people, but when the priests corrupted themselves, God had raised up prophets to speak to the people. Jesus would do the same with these men. He would select new leaders for the nation. He would form a new band of 12 to replace the old tribal loyalties. The sky was beginning to turn from its inky blackness to a dull gray. It would soon be morning. Jesus had prayed all night, but he was strangely refreshed. The confrontations of the previous day had been washed from his soul, and he faced the new day with enthusiasm and zeal for the things of God. Wake up! It's time to get up. We have much work to do. Gather yourselves together. I have many important things to say. The sun was soon over the horizon, and when everyone was up and prepared for the day, Jesus gathered his followers and made an important statement. "I have been in prayer, and God is creating a new day in Israel. Many of you have been following me these past months, but it is time for me to select 12 to be my apostles. Yes, 12. And yes, you are understanding that number. The 12 I pick will become the new leaders of God's people. Just as Jacob had 12 sons, and they became the princes of Israel, and their tribes entered the land to conquer it, so I will pick 12 to be princes in Israel, and they will be my right arm of strength. And they will enter the land on the mission on which I send them. Yeshua of old led the people into the land, and I, the Yeshua of today, will train these 12 as ambassadors for the kingdom of God." His followers stared with eyes wide and full of wonder. Who would he pick for such a noble task? And then Jesus spoke. "Simon, you are now Peter. Rock, you were the first of the 12. Andrew, Peter's brother, you brought him to me, and you must be one of the 12 also. James, John, sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder I call you. Stand here with us. Philip, I choose you, and I choose your good friend Bartholomew. That is 6. There are 6 more that I must choose. Matthew, you have been faithful since that day I called you away from the toll booth, and from the day you made a great feast for me. You and Thomas will be the 7th and 8th. James, son of Alphaeus, you will be the 9th. And Simon the Zealot, I like your zeal, and I will show you how to direct it for the work of God in a new way, in a true way that will bring lasting change. 2 more remain. Judas, son of Alphaeus, you are my 11th. And then Jesus grew silent, and his face grew troubled. He walked past many, and then he stopped in front of one, looked him full in the face, and said, "So that the plan of God may be fulfilled, you, Judas Iscariot, will be our 12th. You are my apostles. You are to remain with me. You are to be at my side in everything I do. I will train you to preach as I preach. I will give you authority over the enemy of mankind as God has given me authority. And now, the rest of you, those who are not chosen, an important work remains for you. Much is to be done. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. But if all of us are going to work together for the kingdom, then you must understand the kingdom of God and how He is working in the land. Gather close to me and listen carefully while I lay out for you the kingdom agenda. Jesus had picked the 12. He had named His apostles. And a new page was about to be written in His story. He walked down with them from the mountain and stood on a level place. A large crowd from His nation and beyond, from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Jesus touched them, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were freed. Power continued to come from Him. The power of the kingdom of God making its way into the world through the hands of Jesus. Jesus turned His gaze toward His disciples, and He began to teach. He began to proclaim the kingdom of God. For centuries, God's people had waited for this moment, and at last, it was here. Hello everyone, this is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. The distressing circumstances of the day had caused Jesus to go to His Father in prayer. And His prayer was for you and me, and everyone who would need to hear His message. I hope you realize how much He loves you, and how He has sacrificed that you might have life with Him. Today's story and all the stories of the Master are a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word to change lives, build a biblical view of life, and connect your story to God's story. I hope you'll get in touch with us. Write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas 78209 in the United States. Or contact us on our website, storiesofthemaster.com. We hope you'll also go to our resources page on the website, and there you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus and your relationship with Him. Jesus has been all night in prayer, and God has revealed to Him who the 12 apostles were to be. Jesus is now with them and multitudes of others. It's time for Him to lay out the kingdom agenda.
The people looked surprised.
Let's return to our story. What kind of a kingdom was this? Jesus said, loving your enemies? Simon the Zealot looked at his hands that had so eagerly longed for a sword. But now Jesus was telling him to use his hands to serve his enemies, not slay them. James and John, the sons of thunder, listened in silence as Jesus told them to do good to those who hated them. Peter, who was so quick to speak and to complain and to wish curses upon others, listened with great surprise as Jesus told him to bless others who cursed him and to pray for those who mistreated him. He had received a lot of mistreatment in his fishing business. It seems he could never get ahead. The middleman to whom he sold his fish was always demanding too high a price, and he was left with so little. Did anyone really understand what Jesus was saying? What Jesus was doing? He was doing what no other leader had ever done. Jesus was reaching into the hearts of people. People needed spiritual healing, not a new captain to lead the army. They needed the love of God. All people needed the love of God. What had retaliation ever done? When one man was hit, he would retaliate, but had that ever solved anything? Not really. Jesus was moving beyond those old laws and ways and establishing higher laws, new ways, the laws of the kingdom of God. He continued, "If someone demands your coat, don't just give him your coat. Give him your shirt as well. If someone slaps you on the cheek, let him hit the other. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, don't demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High God, for He is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. The hearts of Peter and James and John and many others were greatly stirred by these words. This was a teaching like they had never heard, and it was refreshing. It seemed that their history was an endless cycle of war and retaliation and victory followed by bitterness and defeat as their enemies became stronger. And they thought on how they were really no different from their enemy when they engaged in that kind of behavior. If they were always fighting and warring and refusing to give and refusing to pray and calling down curses upon others, were they really any better than the pagans? Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. If you do these things, the light of God will shine within you and out from you to this world of darkness. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? They will both fall into a pit. A pupil is not above his teacher, but after he has been fully trained, he will be like his teacher. And so do these things that I say, and the light of God will shine in the world, and you will lead the blind out of their darkness into the light. How often do you look at the splinter of wood that is in your brother's eye, the little tiny splinter, and you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? How many of you angrily say to others, 'Here, let me take out the splinter that is in your eye,' and you don't even see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye." Jesus looked at a tree that was close by. It had bad fruit on it. It reminded him of the Sodom trees he had encountered in the Judean wilderness many months before that bore tasteless and sickening fruit. Jesus picked some of the fruit, took a bite, and then spit it out and said, "Do you see this tree with bad fruit? You can't eat it, can you? No good tree will produce bad fruit, nor will a bad tree produce good fruit. We know each tree by its fruit. Men do not gather figs from thorn trees, and they do not pick grapes from a briar bush. Do you want good fruit? Then you must be a good tree. You must be like a good man who, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. Those who are evil bring forth what is evil. Evil deeds, evil words, for the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And now, I have one more word for you about my kingdom. You have seen me do great works, and many of you are calling me Lord. But if you are going to call me Lord, then you must do what I say. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts upon my word, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation in the rock. And when a flood occurred, it burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard my word and not obeyed is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the flood burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus became quiet. He looked upon the people and let his words sink deeply into their hearts. And then he called his disciples to him and said, "Now we begin. You will be with me everywhere I go. You will learn from me. I will give you authority. You will do what I do, and you will teach what I teach." All night in prayer, Jesus spent all night in prayer, and this is what came of it: a message that would shake the world to its foundation, and a mission for his apostles, for his ambassadors, to advance the kingdom of God and change the world forever. And my friends, this message and this mission continue to this day. It is not enough for people to hear what Jesus says and not do what he says. Jesus has brought the kingdom of God into the world, and it is advancing to all the nations and will not stop until every tribe, every people, every nation, every person ceases from his rebellion and bows the knee to him. This is the kingdom that Jesus inaugurated. This is the kingdom that penetrates the hearts of people today, and that will one day fill the world with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The question I have for you is, are you building your house upon the foundation that Jesus has laid, or are you building it upon something else? It was quite a message Jesus gave that day. It was indeed a revolution of the heart, and I hope you enjoyed it. This is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. I hope you'll write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word to enable life change, to help you see all of life from a biblical viewpoint, and to connect your story to the story of God. Get in touch with us. Again, our mailing address is P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. Check out our website, where you'll find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus and in developing your relationship with him. I hope you enjoyed today's story, and I look forward to you joining us for another story of the Master. Until then, may the Master himself richly bless you.